second string today. Actually, I'm third string. Amen. But praise the Lord. The Lord's good. All right, take your Bibles, please, this morning. And let's go to Proverbs chapter number 12 this morning. And we're going to, again, pick up on our study of wisdom. And I hope I hope it's been a good study. I hope you're enjoying it. And I hope you're getting something that really can help you in life. Because, you know, the principles of Proverbs are not good just to come to church and hear and say, oh, that's good, you know, that's nice. And those are wonderful things. And they are, but, you know, they're meant to fit into life. Amen? They're meant to be used when we need them. And in the circumstances of life where we find ourselves, wisdom has to be interjected. And you know, the thing about learning wisdom is that we'll never know when or how to interject wisdom in our life unless we know what wisdom is. So we have to study it, know it, and then when we come to a place in life where we have to put it, that's when God wants us to be able to say, it's time for this part of wisdom in life. And we see then in our life the blessings of that. Amen? And, you know, so many things about wisdom, if we didn't know certain things about how to be wise, we would be frustrated more in life. Because our plans would go in accordance to a lack of wisdom. And we'd see the results in our life, wouldn't we? And boy, I'll tell you what, we could all stand and testify to people we've known that have been in that case, you know. And we don't want to get there. Amen? We don't want to be there. We want to be a people that understand what true wisdom is and how it works in our life. So thank God for His Word. Amen? We could not understand true wisdom without the Word of God. The Word of God is the only source of true wisdom for our life. You can read all the books you want, but unless they connect with Scripture, there's not going to be true wisdom, because true wisdom comes from God. Amen? So there's certain things about wisdom that really underlying have to connect with us in order for the principles to come out in our life. So by background, that's just a few things we need to incorporate. All right, so let's pick up here. We're going to look at the last half of chapter 12. Last week, we looked at the first half through verse number 12. So we're going to pick up here at verse number 13 and read through the rest of the passage. Follow along then this morning as I read it. The Bible says, "The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Heaviness is in the heart of a man, in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death.
Let's pray this morning. Lord, bless, we ask thy word this morning. And God, we just pray that thy truths, the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, would just speak the truths to our hearts and our minds this morning. Thank you we can be in church today. And thank you for a beautiful day, the beautiful weather that you provided for us, and just the opportunity to be in church this morning. And so, Lord, I pray as we look into this vital subject of wisdom, I pray that, Lord, you would guide us into the truths of it and open up unto us, Lord, a better knowledge by your word today as we study it. In Jesus' name, amen. Wisdom, again, wisdom is our great subject that we're looking at. It is the great theme of the book of Proverbs. But actually, if you really think about it, it's the great theme of the whole Bible. Wisdom. Wisdom. You say, wisdom isn't mentioned a whole lot in all the rest of the scriptures. But you know, salvation is. And to be saved is the bottom line of wisdom, isn't it? Amen. Salvation is to be saved. So the subject is a permeated understanding in the whole Bible, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 21. It's all about wisdom. But specific principles that God has given Solomon, the writer of most of the Proverbs, as he gives us a lot of the wisdom that God gave him. And you remember the foundation of this wisdom was Solomon asking God for wisdom, Solomon going to God. He was given whatever he could desire. God said, I will give you whatever you desire. Now think of this. If God came to you and he said, I will give you anything you want, what would you ask for? You say, I'm a pastor. You know what I'd ask for? A new church building. You say, what would you ask for? $1 million. I could use a new sports car. And aren't those things that cross our mind when we think if God asked us what we wanted, what we would ask? But Solomon didn't ask for those things. Solomon asked for wisdom. He said, Lord, I'm the leader of this great nation that you've given me. And at the time of Solomon's kingdom, it was uncompared to any other nation in the world. It was amazing. Kings would come from different lands just to see Solomon's wisdom and had heard it. And so thankfully, we are privy to the wisdom that God gave Solomon through the book of Proverbs that he was given by God, and it guided his life. Now, sadly, we know that Solomon rejected a lot of wisdom later on in his life. Sadly, and you know, it reminds me that in life, we got a finish line all the way to the end. We got to get to the finish line. Amen? And the grandeur and the greatness of Solomon's kingdom really began to decline right here. Because if you know Solomon, he had a son named Rehoboam. He was a bad guy. Rehoboam was bad. And I think it was because of this lack of wisdom that Solomon had in his later years. But thankfully, what we're seeing is the wisdom of God in the years that God had given to him. And so, with that background, let's look at some truths. Let's put some things together here in Scripture. And let's begin here with verse number 14. Notice verse 14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. And I here's this thought, is that you will have returned to you what you give out in life. You will have returned to you what you give out in life. It's this principle in the New Testament, sowing and reaping. What you sow, you're going to reap. If you plant corn, you're going to get corn. If you plant corn, you're not only going to get one kernel of corn, But the average corn, they say, has over 300 kernels in it. So you're going to often reap more than what you have sowed. And that's why we sow good seed, because it produces good fruit and a multiplicity of that good fruit in our lives. You know, I think of a man who, he's living his life and he's got two directions to go. He can either live by his own feelings and, you know, kind of please himself in life, or he can live by wisdom. Get in church, be faithful, serve God, bring his family to church, hear the word. They grow, they begin to serve God, they have their children. And there becomes in life this great, blessed heritage of kids that are serving God. And it's the way you want to go someday when you have a lot of fruit in your life. And, you know, sad, not everybody has that, and it's not necessarily because of their own fault. It's not always that way, but I'll say this. Wisdom is seeing today that the fruit and the seeds you plant today get to come back someday. So the real question is, what are we planting today? What seed do we want in our life down the road? Because that doesn't come by osmosis, does it? That comes by what we're planting now and what we're planting today. You say, I want my children to grow up and be good children, godly children. Well, we all want that. But wishing it doesn't create it. Planting the good seeds in now is what brings that fruit later on. And that's the principle here. Amen? That's the principle in here. And I love it. Have you ever seen that show where the boss goes undercover? He goes undercover. And he goes undercover because he's trying to find out the genuineness of his employees and what they're really trying to do in their work. And they don't know he's undercover. But he goes into this place and he sees their work ethic. He sees the guy that's really slothful, where he didn't know that before, but he also sees this person who's really putting out and really trying to do things well and right, like the rules say, and he's, you know, he's just really trying to do his best. That boss recognizes and sees it, and man, then they take the wig off of the guy or the mustache off of the lady. Some of you missed that right there. They take the mustache off and reveal who this person really is, and they're like, "You're my boss." And the boss says, "You know what? I've seen your labor. I've seen your work. I've seen what you're doing. And I'm going to do something for you." And it's a great show in that respect, that you see their labor rewarded. I like that show. I don't watch it hardly much. I heard Eli Manning did that. I didn't know. Put a wig on. I got to watch that one. But anyhow, I like to see that reward. And you know, in that perspective, that is what wisdom is doing in our life. There's a God who's seeing us. There's a God who's seeing us. And you know, sometimes we can tend to think, he's watching all the evil and he wants to thump me on the head. But no, the Bible says he beholds the evil and the good. He sees the good seed we're planting in life. He sees what we're trying to accomplish. He sees our motives. He sees that all. And so there ought to be a knowledge in a Christian that I want to just keep planting good seed in my life. And this doesn't mean you have a lot of seed. You may not have a lot of, say, monetary means or a lot of things that you can do. Or maybe you're inhibited in some way from doing more than you'd like to do. But you know, God sees that too. And God knows what we can do. And I'm glad that there's a God that does see, because he faithfully will reward us in this life, but also when we get to heaven too. So the wise truth is, sow seed today, even if it doesn't feel like that's what I should do, because you get to reap that in a good way someday. Amen? And by the way, that's the nature of the God we serve. He delights to be good to his children. Amen? And so that's the principle. What you have, what you give out is going to return to you. You say, I've given out and it hadn't been returned to me. You haven't lived the rest of life yet. You haven't lived the rest of life yet. And by the way, even if you don't, God is faithful to reward it, and you will see what you have sown in heaven. You know, I know good people that they just give and serve, and they're sowing good seed all their life, doing the best they can. And it seems like they've never reaped that harvest in this life. But I want you to know something. God is not unfaithful to forget our labor of love. God is not unfaithful. There's a day coming. There's a day coming. You know, we've been through a terrible heartache in our church this week and seen the situation with Jeremy. And I don't want to go into it all, but I'll tell you what. There's a God that sees and knows the truth. And he will be faithful to reward one day. Yes, he will. Amen. Hold on to that. Okay, let's look secondly. Move on. Verse number 15. Verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearketh unto counsel is wise. Okay, now let me quantify or explain the word fool here, what it's talking about. There's a step before becoming a fool that the Bible teaches about. It's a simple. It's called simple. We see the word simple in the book of Proverbs. The simple ones did this. Or the simple one walked by the door of the house of the prostitute. He was a simple one. Now, what does that mean? It means that he in life has not yet chosen to be a fool. He's not necessarily doing foolish things in his life. But he's still not yet following wise principles in his life. He's somewhere in between. He's floating around. He's not grounded in anything. He's not holding to anything and how he's going to direct his life. He's a floater. Anybody know floaters in life? You ever seen a floater? Whatever is the easiest path, that's the way we're going to jettison. You know people like that? I do. And I would have to say, honestly, sometimes I've chosen an easy path in my life, but not the wise path. And it's never done me well. Okay, so that's a simple one. But now the fool is this guy who's taken that step further. He said, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to take care of old number one, me, right here. I'm going to forget this sowing of seed. I'm going to live for now. I'm going to do what I want today. Forget this church. Forget the serving God stuff. Who needs that? That don't do me good. How unwise of a philosophy that is to live life. Especially when you know that there is a good God who delights to be good to his children. But when we go against his scriptures, how can he freely give us his blessings? I mean, would you parents, if your child disobeys you, would that be motivation for you to go out and do something for them? You disobeyed me. I told you to clean your bedroom and you didn't do it. So I think I'm going to go out and buy you a gift. I'm going to buy you a present. Here. Now, by the way, a lot of parents try that stuff today. It's called this gentle parenting philosophy, which if you give me an hour sometime, I'll raise Cain about that philosophy. But it's this idea that we don't receive good when we do negative, wrong things, ungodly things. But you know, a lot of people live frustrated with God. They're not living their life for God, but yet they expect his blessings. Oh, God, there. And so they turn on God. There's no God in life. There's no God. He's never done me good. Well, if God's told you to clean the room, don't expect him to go out and buy you a gift. Right? And you know, there's a lot of people who are bitter against God. They've turned against God. It's not God's fault. That's not God's nature. God delights in being good to us when we understand wisely how wise it is to just obey Him and follow Him. But God's not going to give you the gift when you don't disobey Him. So the principles here of wisdom have to reside in us to understand what they are. All right, let's move on. I'm sorry, I've got so much here to give you. I might have to do another week on this chapter. Okay, here we go. Verse 15. The eyes of a fool are right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Now, what the verse is saying is that there is a wisdom in realizing when we make decisions and do things in life that we may not always see the right thing or do the right thing. Now, just because you're saved and you've trusted Christ doesn't mean that that old flesh is not still in you. That old flesh is still in me. It doesn't mean, salvation doesn't mean the elimination of the flesh. It means you have a new nature to which you have to choose to live for. It's your choice. You know, God doesn't come to anybody and twist their arm behind their back. You serve me. You better serve me. Has God ever done that to you? Has God ever come to you and said, you better do this, you better do that? No. God brings to our ears principles of wisdom that if we're willing to listen to them and to let them absorb into our heart and use them in life, we'll see the fruit of that. But here's a man, and what Scripture is describing is this man, the only right he can see is what is in his own eyes. This is what I think is right. You know what's skewed about that thinking? It's because you got another man over here, he has the same thinking, only he thinks his right is the opposite of what this guy thinks right is. How can you determine right or wrong when everybody thinks a different thing? That's why God in His Word has given us His written Word, so we can understand the final authority of truth and right. It's so we can say, you know what? I might be wrong. I might not be seeing this right. I need God's wisdom because I want to see things right. I want to see things right. You know, people, this is the mentality of people who have works salvation. They think they're going to get to heaven by their good works. The problem with that is that we've all sinned. And you can't get to heaven with sin. You got to have the sin cleansed. So we have to go to God and ask Him for His saving grace to cleanse our hearts from sin and be washed in His blood, thereby being declared righteous. But the problem with works salvation is that it doesn't depend on God. It depends on you. And nobody can get to heaven. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Psalms teaches us there's none that doeth good. No, not one. We're all sinners. We're all made of the dust of the ground. But here's the wisdom of the truth. The wisdom of the truth is to recognize I need God's wisdom in me because I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I am often skewed by my own flesh. I often think right and wrong is determined by my flesh. And dear Lord, it's not. Lord, give me your wisdom. Teach me, Lord, your way. Help me to understand that I don't understand. And you know, the recognition that we're not all put together complete. This recognition is a wise recognition because it prevents us from thinking proudly like we got it all together. We know everything. Well, there's a lot of people in life that You can't give them any wisdom. They don't want to hear it. You know why? They've established their own wisdom in their mind. They've got everything figured out. But that's the same mistake as this other guy's making when they're both going two different directions of which they think is right. Every man thinks they're right in their own eyes. Every man. That's humanity. Some people are going to a religion today thinking that the religion somehow is what's right. And there's true religion, but there's false religion too. So what is the common denominator of all truth? It has to be what God gave us in his word, the ever-living word of God. So trust your own mind many times when you think. It's just like tithing. Tithing doesn't make sense, but it's wise. It's wise. You say, why? You say, I can live better. And by the way, the tithe, scripturally, is the first 10% of all my increase that the Lord gives me. It goes back to God. And Malachi said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And it doesn't make sense to me to know that I can live better on 90% than I give 10%. But here's what we need to recognize. That 10% is put into God's hand. And God takes that 10% and blesses it and uses it in our life. I've been tithing now for 35 years, some of you even more. You say, what? I've had 7 kids. Don't talk to me about financial difficulty. Okay? But I kept tithing. I want to tell you something. There was always food on that table. There was always gas in that car. There's always tires on that car. God blesses it because it's a principle found in Scripture that only wisdom can bring us to. And every principle in Scripture is that way. So don't declare what's right in my own. You know what? You know what's right in my own eyes? There's a chocolate cake over there at the house. And when church is over this morning, I want to go over and eat the entire chocolate cake. And all God's people said, amen. Y'all are just as sinners as much as I am. Amen. I want to go home, eat the whole chocolate cake. But my wife's made a dinner with some vegetables too. What's a wise choice? Don't say chocolate cake, okay? Oh. But, and by the way, don't misunderstand the illustration. It's not that God doesn't want us to enjoy things in life. He does. But wisdom opens us up to the ability to have blessings and joyful things in life. But lack of wisdom diverts us away. It diverts us away. All right, I got to keep moving. All right, you ready? Here we go. Next one. Verse 19. Now, let's skip ahead there. I'm sorry. Okay, let's touch on it. Verse 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Okay. Lies. You know one of the ideas about lie? A lie is a temporary thing. A lie is a temporary thing. It's a temporary fix to get out of a problem. When a person just speaks truth in their life, truth is not always easy, okay? Truth is not fun, it's hard. Sometimes tell the truth, because sometimes the truth reveals imperfection in us, right? Truth does that. So oftentimes we avoid truth and we try to cover the lie. And you know, there's a lot of people that are lying to themselves today saying, oh, you're good, you're fine, you're going to get to heaven, you're going to be okay. But they miss truth. Amen. And that truth is that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, John 3, verse 36, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now that's not easy. I don't like that, even for the lost man. But it's truth. So a wise man will approach a principle in the Bible and say, you know what? That's true. Realizing that in our own minds, we don't always have it figured out. So God's figured it out for us and written it down in his word. And by the way, in my message this morning, I'm going to set some seeds or some principles of how God gave us and planted his word in our lives so that we can understand that the Bible is true and reliable. And you need to understand that, right? Because why would you put your faith into something that's not reliable? Amen? But now here, the other part of this principle is that truth brings future establishments. The lip of truth shall be established forever. I could go to, say, Brother Watson today. And I could say, Brother Watson, tell me what you think about that. And I would know something before he even told me what he thought about it. I would know that he's trying to tell me the truth about that subject. You know why? Because I know him as a truthful person. So this establishment of truth, when a truthful person speaks, it has a way of people saying, yeah, you can listen to that. But you ever heard somebody just splattering lies? I mean, they can't tell the truth. You know what we do to somebody like that? We're just like, yeah, whatever, you know. Keep talking, blah, blah, blah. And you can't hold anything established with that person. You know? It's like if you go to a car dealer and buy a car and you get a bad deal, would you go back to that car dealer? No, because no truth has been established there. But the wise car dealer is going to be truthful and do the best he can to be honest with you because he wants you to come back and buy another car. Because the Ford you bought broke down along the highway. Amen? I always have to say something about Fords. Amen? If you have a Ford, I love you. I'm not mad at you. Amen? I got you on my prayer list, though, okay? Just kidding. Okay, let's move on. Let's go to some other truths here with time. I'm sorry. Oh, time. Okay, verse 21. Now, this is a misunderstood verse. Let's look at it. Verse 21. There shall no evil happen to the just. Now, the word just is the key. But the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Okay, the truth is teaching good things happen to the just. Trouble happens to the wicked who fall into mischief. Okay. That's the principle. But notice what it says. And we hold to the very words of God. So notice what it says. There shall no evil happen to the just. Do you think that at face value is true? Do you think nothing bad happens to good people? Joseph went into a prison, was maligned. Daniel went into a lion's den. Paul was beaten and stoned 3 times, shipwrecked. Is that true? Does no evil happen to the just? Now, to understand what this verse is saying, you have to understand the words of what it's saying. And the word is just. It's talking about justice. And what it's saying is that it doesn't mean, and it's not intending to mean, that there's no evil. The principle is teaching us that there is justice, and there will be justice for those who do right. So here you take Joseph, okay? Joseph was thrown in a pit. He, you know, his brothers discarded him, then he went to, and then Potiphar's wife lied about him, threw him in prison. You remember that? He's in prison. God, why'd you do this to me? That may not fit the narrative of the verse. But what happened One day, justice came to Joseph. He was pulled up out of that pit. He was pulled up out of that prison. Potiphar saw the wisdom of God in him and made him second in the kingdom. And when a famine came, it was Joseph that saved the kingdom, and he saved his own family from famine in the book of Genesis. What a story. It means that God is faithful to take every wrong and make it right at some point. Maybe that point is not in this life, but maybe that point's going to be when you get to heaven. There will be justice. I wish everything in life were just. I do. I wish everything in life ironed out in the way of the Christian and the way of the one who's genuinely trying to serve God, doing his best. I wish that there were no injustices to people like that, but that's really not reality, is it? But the verse is teaching us at some point in time, God is going to take what injustices there are, and he's going to take that scale. And in his wisdom and in his mind, he's going to weigh that scale out so that really in the end, there is no injustice that happens to the one who's righteous. God is faithful to do that. And God will see to it that good, godly people do not face the same demise as the wicked and the evil. He will be a just God. In fact, that's part of the nature of God's character, is that he's just. Salvation is something that God had to make just in order to save us. You say, what do you mean? Well, there had to be a price for sin. Sin cannot just go on and let God, oh yeah, you're a sinner, you live in sin, oh, that's great, come on into heaven. God can't do that because his nature is just. God is a just God. So that means that in salvation, he went to the cross, he was paying for sin in his own blood. We couldn't pay for our own sin because we're imperfect. I can't pay for your sin. A priest can't pay for your sin. Only Jesus can pay for your sin. He's the only perfect one. But the justice of God required a payment for sin. And that's why Jesus came to die on the old rugged cross. Some say, why did God choose that method to save us? It's because the justice of God demanded a price for sin, a penalty for sin. But thankfully, it's not a penalty we have to pay. It's a penalty that he already paid 2,000 years ago on that rugged cross, old rugged cross. And he is still today paying and redeeming man from their sin, because God looked down and he saw the sacrifice of his son, and it satisfied God's justice. And you and I are the beneficiaries of that wonderful work that God did. Man, hallelujah. Man, that'll even make a Baptist get up and shout in church. Amen? What a truth. So hear me. And the principle, and I'll stop here today, but the principle is this. If we're serving a just God, he's going to make sure at some point in time, all justice will be served. You know, God knows the injustices that are done in this world. And you know, sometimes it seems like they get by with injustice. You know, if you read Psalm 73, David says, I looked at the foolish. He said, they don't have any problems. There's no trouble in their life. He said, I almost was envious of them because I wanted to be like them, because it appeared like they had no trouble in their life. Everything's going great for the wicked man. But as a Christian, sometimes we face trials. Why is that? I think it's so that God builds our faith in life, that we'll trust him through more trials. Knowing this about God, knowing this, is that God is a just God. And that God, everything I face in the name of Christ today, negatively or bad, God's going to see to it at some point that justice is done. Justice will be done. I'll tell you what, these wicked people that think they're getting by with stuff today, you just better wait. One day there's a God. He will come on a white horse. He will speak in righteousness and in truth. That God, he will be here. Well, because of time, I got to quit. I could go on another hour, but we'll stop there today. We'll pick up and finish the last half of the chapter here next week. Hope it's encouraging to you. Hope the truths mean something to you. Let's pray.